when our offering comes around, if we can hit it pretty good, we need another $192 for finish out the pizza and stuff for Rick, Brother Rick. The women's going to help on that this morning, too. So. I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2. We've been looking at wisdom in the wisdom books, Psalms, Proverbs, Job. So, let me get over here and get back in place here. First Corinthians 2:13. While you're doing that, I want you to put your finger in there and turn to John chapter 16:14-16, kind of hold it, and we're going to flip back and forth here just a little bit. John 14:15-16, mostly John 16, chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 2:13. I'm going to start reading up in verse 10 or verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. One time a guy had wrote in the paper, and he asked the question about heaven, what they knew about heaven. The guy said, use that verse right there to say, well, we don't know much about heaven because I have not seen or heard. But you don't quit there. How many times in this class have I told you, you got to put the chapters together. You got to put the Bible itself together. It says, now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Holy Spirit reveals them through his book, what's there, through the word of God. But in verse 12, I want you to look. We're just going to do a little word comparison because we're talking about knowledge and wisdom out of Proverbs and Psalms. And we're over in the teachings of the New Testament church and looking at some of these and looking at some of these words. But I want you to look at in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, that we might know. Now, before we flip back there, you know the four spirits. There's the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit. And there's the Spirit of man, which is the human spirit. Then there's the Spirit of the beast, which is the animal spirit, Spirit of the beast. Then there's the Spirit of the devil, the unclean spirit. So, but we have not received the spirit of this world. That's the spirit of man or the spirit of the devil. But we've received the Spirit of God. Why? That we might know. And I want you to look at this word know and flip over to John 16:20. Well, I might have the wrong one written down here. Let me get it. But look in verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He will guide, he will teach, and he's doing it that you may know. That's 14:20. Let's try that and see if I'm on the right verse there. I've lost it. Oh, yes, that is. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. See, the Holy Spirit is given to us that we might know. And Jesus is telling his disciples, he said, I'm going away. He said, but I will send you another comforter. Why? That you may know. and that you may learn and that you may be guided. Just as simple as it can be. When you get a chance at home, sit down and read 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2 and 4, and when you can flip back and forth to John 14, 15, and 16. The Holy Spirit is the one that's guiding a man that he may know. Now, I want you to look at verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. See, man's wisdom teaches, and the Holy Ghost teaches. And buddy, they are contradictory to each other. Not in the words man's wisdom teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. See, the Holy Spirit teaches us spiritually. And it is a spirit that guides us. Some religions who don't believe in the deity, they say the Holy Spirit is just that, all it is just an influence. No, it's a person. Because when he said, I'm going to not leave you comfortless, I will send you another comforter. As I've said many times in this class, same as, equal to God. I'll send you another. So let's look over in 26, chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. When we look today at some scriptures about the Word of God and how it's spoken, how it's written, and how it's preserved, remember that. The Holy Spirit teaches. All right? And then in 1 Corinthians in verse 14 of chapter 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Sometimes we expect, and I know I'm talking about me too, we expect natural men to make spiritual decisions. They ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. You know what he doesn't have? When you flip back to John 14, he doesn't have a relationship with God. Now, he can know that there's a God, because nature reveals that. Psalms 19, we'll look at that a little bit. Nature reveals these things that he can know, but he must have a spiritual relationship with God to make spiritual decisions. I don't want to bust bubbles or anything like that. That's why we need spiritual men in decisions in our country, where decisions are made that affect spiritual matters. That's why we need them. Let's see if I can keep up with these scattered notes here. Chapter 14, verse 16. Of John. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. What is Paul saying over here? He's saying we have the mind of Christ. We can make decisions when we have the Spirit of God. Why and how? If we don't quench Him. If we stay in God's Word, staying in touch with what God. So let's just look here in Corinthians again, in 2:13. Which things also we speak, not in the word which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You see how the man discerns? God gives a man knowledge. We know what knowledge is. Now, it's simple. As we said, knowledge is it's a storehouse of facts. And discretion is how you use those facts. And that's what Proverbs teaches, that a man must have discretion. He must know how to use the facts. And he must have the wisdom of God. He must have God. Christ is the wisdom of God. We read that last week. Christ is the wisdom of God. The Holy Spirit is equal to Him. And we have the Holy Spirit in us to help make those decisions. There's just so much richness in these scriptures, it's just hard, to touch them. But watch this in verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. For years, I've watched people make decisions, and we'll fuss about those decisions, but Lord, how are they going to make spiritual decisions? How? If they don't have a relationship with God. Look in verse, chapter 4, John 14, 18 through 20. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That is a relationship. And buddy, it's a deep relationship. And you know what? It's compared to a husband and wife relationship, which don't even make a good comparison, but it is. Where he said, I speak concerning Christ and the church. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Christ in you, in the church, that's a great mystery. What a mystery. We have Him. We have the mind of Christ. But you know what? Here in 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and 3, you're dealing with three people. You're dealing with the natural man who cannot receive these things. Because why? Because they're spiritually discerned. All right? Then you have the carnal Christian who has to be fed, spoon-fed with milk. I, brethren, could not, verse chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So growth depends on what? Words. The Word of God. Growth depends on the Word of God. If you're not studying and reading your Bible, you're not growing. That's true. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care how hard you're working. If you're not studying and reading your Bible and communicating with God, and the way He communicates is through His written Word. Now, we have a spirit that guides us. That's what he said in John. He would guide us into what? What did he say he'd guide us to? Truth. What did he say truth was? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God is going to guide us through the Word of God. And a natural man can't make spiritual decisions. That's what the Bible said. I didn't say that. He can't. And he might hit one once in a while where God's moved in the hand of the king and got it done. Verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Now, Paul will quote some scriptures and give it some clarity because something's happened from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We have the mind of Christ. The Old Testament man did not have the Holy Spirit living within him. He had the Holy Spirit coming upon him and moving him sometimes. But we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And we can quench him. And we need to, well, I need to move on. I didn't intend to take that much time in those. But I want you to turn to Psalms 19. We're going to, I know we've been here so many times in this class, but as I did this lesson this week, I took from three previous lessons, or three previous studies we've had, Psalms, Proverbs, and Corinthians, and just put some things together out of these on wisdom. I imagine this is probably one of every one of us's favorite places in the Bible. But it says, I want us to, we'll read it and we'll look at some of the points in it. The heavens declare. What's declare? I said, speak. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You see, they have a voice, they speak. The Word of God is the same way. The heavens declare it, but the Word of God is identical. That's what he's saying here. It has a voice, it's the voice of God. It speaks. It uttereth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line, remember, in Isaiah 28, is it? Line upon line. Precept upon precept, you're a little, they're a little. When you have a line, that's a part in the play. That's a spoken part. They have a part in this play. And you have to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man cannot do that. The natural man can't rightly divide the Word of God. A man that's not born again has problems with the Word of God and right division. I've asked myself so many times, how can a man believe that doctrine from other religions a lot of times? How can a man, but he can't spiritually discern matters. Verse 4, their line is gone out through all the earth. And their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth of the young man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. When we're reading in Psalms, and Proverbs, and in Job, my goodness, I read some more in Job this week and looked over there in Job chapter 19 and 22, where Job is prophesying Jesus on the cross just as clear as day. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from me, from my roaring? I mean, it's just, it's amazing. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It's perfect. It's complete. It'll convert the soul. And if we have time, we won't have time today, but we'd look back over in Job where it says, if there be a messenger, one in a thousand, who can bring that, then God will redeem him, a man. We'll get there later. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You see that? Making wise the simple. Not in the wisdom of this world. A simple man with the Holy Spirit can discern spiritual matters. He can see what's right and wrong where the natural man can't, even though he's a simple man. Paul said, I come to you. He said, I didn't claim to know anything except Jesus crucified, buried, and risen again. He said, that's what I knew among you. When did he say that in Corinthians? When he left Athens. When he come down out of Athens and said, where's the scribe? Where's the writer? Where's the disputer? Where's the lawyer? Where are these people when it comes? But look at the simple man. And people like to look at the simple man and say, well, he's ignorant. A guy told my brother not long ago, who's a family member, I won't get into who's and what's, but he said, you still believe that old mountain stuff? My Lord, that ain't mountain stuff. They believe it over in Europe. They believe it out in Texas. They believe it in California. I seen a little guy handing out tracts at the gate of the park in Oregon. It's everywhere. It's not, and the simple man is getting it. The wisdom of this world. Now, we need it all, don't we? There's no excuse for ignorance when abilities is there to learn. I'm not making excuse for ignorance. But we know that there's two wisdoms, the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is the Holy Spirit in you. I'm telling you. Time's getting us, so we want to just look. I want you to look at what these words do. In verse 1, the heavens declare. They declare. What does this book do? It declares the glory of God and showeth his handiwork. Right? All right? I want you to look in verse 2 at the speech. Think of the word of God and look at how these words appear. Speech. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Speech and knowledge. All right? Then look in verse 3. Language. I used to think, why would they call Jesus the Word of God? Why in John does he say in the beginning was the Word and the Word was God and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us? What does man communicate with? Speech, language, knowledge. How did God communicate with man? The Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Word of God. He communicates God with us. How is he communicating with us now? The Holy Spirit. It's simple, isn't it? To a simple man who's not trying to figure it out. Just believing it. Amen? All right? Just look at all these words. All right, voice. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It's not just a mountain thing. You still believe that old mountain stuff? Man, it's everywhere. And the heavens declare the glory of God. Man can't even, man hadn't made, as the old saying is, get your own dirt.
Yeah.
Man ain't made nothing, has he? He just has to take what God's made and try to use it. All right, so you see the voice in verse 3 and then in 4, they're lying. You know what a line? You get a line in the play, you get a part in it, don't you? You get to speak something. The earth, the suns, the heavens gets to speak for God. A little bird gets to sing for him. A tree gets to wave his arms for him. That's in the Bible. They get to speak for God. We do too. Look in 4 again. Their line has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words. It's the words, folks. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Did you see that? They are spirit and truth. He didn't say they were spiritual. He said they were spirit. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, Hebrews 4. And there's no creature who's not manifest in his sight. They can't handle that, can they? Bible critics can't handle that. When it makes it the Bible a person. Now I want you to look at the quality of these words. In verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The quality of these words, they're perfect and they're sure. Look at verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right. They are perfect, they're sure, and they're right. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So they are perfect, sure, right, clean, true, and righteous. He goes to talk, and you see when I started off, I can watch expressions. And when I'm talking about the Word of God, when we're talking about the heavens, people kind of look at it like this. But when you get down to the end of it, what's he change it to? The statutes, the judgments, the commandments, the writings. As Job says, that my words were written in a book, engraved with a lead pen in a rock forever. What's that tell you? Words spoken, words written, and words preserved. Spoken, written, and preserved. Oh, that my words, and they were. Elihu wrote it as God directed him. All right? So they're perfect, sure, right, clean, true, and righteous. What do they do for man? Verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Is that true? Man spends. How much part of my life did I spend making money? I had to do it to live. And the Bible says that's blessed. That's okay. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. They're sweet to a man. They're pleasant to him. They're soothing to him. When you get trouble, don't you just feel good about sitting down and reading the Word of God and looking at a verse here and there? Huh? They're sweet. What else will they do for him? Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. In verse 11. A servant is warned. We're warned by them. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. In the other wisdom book, Psalms chapter 1, blessed is the man, right? Let's just turn, I'm going to flip back right quick and read that. That's one of my favorite, I guess it is my favorite in Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. How can you meditate on the Word of God if you haven't read it? How can you think on anything in your brain that hasn't went in it? David said he could lay in his bed and meditate on the Word of God. Right? He shall be like a tree. See how he'll be successful? There's great reward in it. That's what the Bible says. There's great reward. That's a successful man. I've seen a lot of successful men who wore bib overalls, not a suit. I grew up with a lot of successful men, babe. I thank God for it. And them mountains, believe that old mountain stuff. But they were successful. Because, you know, they took a whole lot with them when they died. A natural man takes nothing. His works will find him out, yeah. But in hell. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. It's bringing forth his fruit, not yours. It's bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's a successful man, isn't it? But not to the wisdom of this world. Not in the eyes of this world. But that's a successful man. So, there's great reward. And then, let's look at something else he'll have. Verse 12. Who can understand his errors? He'll have understanding. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Things I don't even know about. He's saying, cleanse me from those things. God, see, the Word of God is what? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And there's no creature that's not manifest in his sight. See, how it works. It's a revealer of the secret things, the intents of the heart. Also, the premeditated sins. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Before. You presumed it. Sat down and thought about it and then did it. Boy, that's a bad one, isn't it? Huh? That's like premeditated murder. Premeditated. See, when David looked out over the balcony and he saw the woman, he premeditated and brought her to him. And you see what it cost him? And also, it says over in Proverbs that these words will be fitted to your mouth. They'll be there when you need them. Put the Word of God in there, in your heart. And when you need it, it'll be fitted to your mouth. That's what the Bible teaches. What about some things that these words are not? Proverbs chapter 8. They're not hard to understand. I hear that all the time. I can't understand that Bible. Now, I'm not saying I understand everything in here. Don't misunderstand me. But it's not. Most of the time, it's not that we don't understand this, if we don't believe it. That's a fact. Believe what God said, when he said it, and how he said it, and who he said it to. That's where you get straightened out. What words were spoken? Well, who were they spoken to? Don't try to fit a lot of things in the Old Testament in New Testament doctrine. It don't fit. All right? Some things there are not. They're not hard to understand. Look at in verse 7 of chapter 8. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Who is speaking here? Wisdom is speaking. Who is wisdom? Watch this. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. There's nothing twisted in them. God never put stuff in this Bible and twisted it to where you couldn't understand it. He just said, study it and rightly divide it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing it. They are all plain to him that understandeth. See, they're not perverse. They're not froward. They're not twisted. A lot of people like to speak froward. They like to twist their words. So when you do catch them in it, they can do like the man comes back a day after the president speaks and says what he said. Well, this is what he actually said. No, I heard him. I heard him the first time. They're not froward. The Bible's not like that. Okay? They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. What's the desire of your heart? You see, you want to know how to get wisdom, how to get that? Look in chapter 2. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. When you lay this book across your lap, do you ask God, Lord, help me to have understanding? You know what will happen as you read that book? All of a sudden, something that was said over here will go, whoom, right in your mind when you read that verse. Then you'll put line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Amen? Okay. They're not hard to understand. They're not corrupt. And we just seen that in 1 Corinthians chapters 2 and 3. They're not corrupt. They're not in line with the wisdom of this world. Is the bell rung? First, second one yet? Okay. They're not in line with the wisdom of this world. And that's in 1 Corinthians. The natural man's not going to receive them. They're not to be interpreted. Okay, thank you. They're not to be interpreted apart from each other. 2 Peter 1:20. Do you not see a problem in that in churches in America today? How they'll take Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And take that verse and build a doctrine on it. And then baptize you to be saved. Not to be interpreted apart. See, rightly dividing that Bible, you say, well, that's hard to understand there. That's what it said. That's not hard to understand. When you go looking at Israel and what he said to Israel. Okay? They're not to be interpreted apart from each other. And they're spiritual things. They must be discerned spiritual. Job 32:8. The spirit in man. There is a spirit in man. And they are, and the Lord God gives him understanding. Job 32 said, there is a spirit in man. And let me read that verse and then we'll end this thing. Job 32:8. The inspiration of the Almighty. What it says, giveth him. I'm going to read this here. I said, days should speak, in verse 7, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. You see that? Wow, this is so powerful. These three verses right here are so powerful. Let me read them without hesitation. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Some people we consider great are not always wise because they don't have the wisdom of God. And they're natural men and cannot discern spiritual matters. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. God, thank you for your word. Pray that you'll bless in the next hour. In Jesus' name we pray.